Welcome to the Context Machine, episode 682. And if you knew what I just put Jeff through, you'd maybe have empathy for him. I'm Brian Chaffin.
Oh, holy crap. I didn't realize we were doing a show. I'm Jeff Gamet. Check us out on our online home, contextmachine.io.
You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine or on Blue Sky at contextmachine.bsky.social. And unfortunately, life does sometimes get in the way of recording shows. And so we are kind of on a time crunch today. So we should probably just get to it.
Cool. How about if we just blame my parents?
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. I mean, that's okay. You know, probably fair in general to blame our parents, but for most things. Yeah. Love you, Mom. Right.
Whatever's wrong in life, it's our parents' fault.
Yep. So Apple did WWDC
25. Yeah. I see what you did there. Yeah. Yep.
This was just 2 days ago. We're recording this on Wednesday, June 11th. The keynote was on Monday, June 9th. And, yeah. So let's talk about it.
All right.
So, first of all, there was the shift to everything being year-based to 26. So the next version of iOS will be not iOS. What would it have been normally?
19.
Are we on iOS 18 now? This is not staged. This is why
I'm grabbing my phone.
Yeah. Okay. So it is currently iOS 18. Okay. This is why I think this is a good idea for Apple to have done. Because,
yeah. Go ahead.
I know you have famously not been able to keep track, or been unwilling to, or just maybe it's all a joke, but you have been famously unwilling to keep track of which version of macOS we were on. And
you know, when they went to California locations, that point forward, for whatever reason, I genuinely have had a horrible time keeping track of macOS versions.
Well, the good news is that will continue, but there will be a fallback. There will be a fallback of it being macOS 26, iOS 26, iPadOS 26, watchOS 26. And I've seen mentions of, you know, Microsoft did this with Windows 95 and 98. I don't care. And this, it makes sense for Apple to do this. For one thing, Apple does update its operating systems every year. They have successfully done this for years. And not only having different numbers for every different OS, because every different OS was released at a different time, but having it match the year that most of its life will be in makes sense to me. This is a good, solid move.
Okay, so I'm with you. It's a good, solid move. And I love that we have an OS where the year number doesn't match when it was released. So what's rolling out this fall, iOS 26, macOS 26, all that, that's the stuff coming out in 2025.
Well, yeah, it is. Okay, I'm going to nitpick, because technically it is Apple's fiscal 26.
That's assuming it rolls out in October.
Okay.
If it rolls out in September, it's still fiscal 25.
That's fair.
That your argument stands because the calendar on my wall is not Gregorian or anything else. It's Apelian, meaning that my year cycle is based on Apple's fiscal year. So my and new year's
even regard is that on nitpicking
October 1st.
Even that, even regardless of that nitpicking, the majority, the life of these operating systems will be in that next year.
Yeah. Well, and ultimately, just having a unified versioning. So it's obvious that what it doesn't matter for me what year it came out in. It's just these are all the versions that came out at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really like this. Admittedly, you could make an argument that maybe it should have been. Maybe they should have gone to a Roman numeral system, whatever. It's having it unified is what's important. For a while. They did that for a while.
Yeah.
I am fine with this. I don't care about the arbitrary nature of it being 26 versus 25. It's just having everything have the same name makes so much sense.
I agree. This will be a lot easier. Won't stop me from making the joke about the operating system that comes out in 25 is called 26 because it's an easy joke.
Mm.
But yes, the fact that it's all unified, I think that's a really good move.
Right. Okay. So we're agreed on that. I guess let's dive into some of the specifics. I mean, honestly, there was way too much for us to cover everything. We just won't get to everything. So what we're going to talk about are the things that stuck out to us.
Yes. Which to me makes sense because you're right. There's way too much to go over even if we had an open end for recording today, there's still too much.
So what are you going to call macOS Tahoe? Which is also macOS 26.
It's macOS Large Lake.
Large Lake. It was
going to be Big Lake, but I went for the alliteration on that one.
Fair enough.
Because,
I was wondering if you would go.
Because currently we're using macOS Tall Trees.
You're using that. Not we. Don't,
you are too.
Don't. No, I am not.
Wait, you're still on Wine Country?
I was just wondering if you were going to go with like macOS pickup truck.
macOS pickup. Oh, pickup truck. Oh, I get it.
Anyway, let's actually start.
I cracked myself up.
Well, is there anything about macOS 26 you want to talk about? That's not in our notes. That's funny enough. We really didn't talk about this one in our pre-show.
It doesn't matter because you could ask us about any of the operating system releases that are coming out, and I can pick an item, and it probably applies to all of them.
Yeah, but, fair enough.
Because
in a good way,
interface thing.
In a good way.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. I will pick out a Mac specific thing to talk about, and that's the new Spotlight.
Right.
Spotlight is a little like Keyboard Maestro and a little bit like Butler rolled in to the Spotlight interface. It is not a killer of either of those apps. But being able to perform searches, but then also perform actions directly from that interface, you know, just a little bar right there on your screen, and to get results that hopefully are more useful overall. That to me makes this a much more useful feature than it's been. Spotlight for me is one of those things that I know is running in the background to index things so that when I do my searches with Butler, there's the database already exists. I don't use the Spotlight interface because it's too limiting for me, but maybe I will now. One of the examples that they showed during the keynote of using this to trigger another action was, you want to send someone an email. So instead of going and launching mail, you just bring up the Spotlight window and you can type a little command. They have some keyboard shortcuts that you type that will trigger actions. And so you can start an email. Well, you can write a whole email right there, and then it will populate the stuff into the correct fields in a new message for you. You can send text messages from here, I believe. But I mean, just being able to type like it's like mail or send or I don't know, and then you do the message, and away you go. That's super handy. And they are giving developers an API so you can tie your app into being able to trigger actions from the Spotlight interface. So this has the potential to be a real big productivity booster.
I do want to point out that Spotlight has already for years done some things right in the Spotlight interface. Mm-hmm. For instance, conversions. If you type in 1 kilometer, it'll say equals 0.62 miles. Or if you type in 1 mile, it'll say, I forget the exact, 1.161 kilometers. If you say one F, it'll spit out -17.22 degrees Celsius. So 1 degree Fahrenheit is -17.22 degrees Celsius. And it has done these things automatically, and it's actually done that for years. So this is the things that you were talking about are an expansion of the features that the Spotlight automatically does. It'll also do like, so if I go $1, I get that it is 0.87 euros. That's without typing anything. So just $1 equals 0.87 euros. And then if I said $1 in pounds, actually even just pound, it'll tell me that it's 0.774 British pounds. So there are conversions. There's basic math stuff that it would do. So these new features are definitely an expansion of this ability the Spotlight has already had.
Yeah, I think an easy way to look at it is what we've had up until now is Spotlight is a great information retrieval tool. And moving forward, in addition to being an information retrieval tool, it will be a proactive action tool for you as well.
Yeah, much more of a launch pad, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of this also includes now a clipboard manager. That's always been the purview of third-party apps.
Yes.
In Large Lake, you have a built-in clipboard manager, which I believe... I didn't see how they triggered it. So I don't know if that was through Spotlight specifically, or if there was like, something else you could do when you go to paste where you bring up your clipboard history, but it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was fun. Kind of sucks for those getting Sherlocked.
They're not going to get Sherlocked, most of them. It's like when Apple gave us the whole keychain thing, and everyone thought 1Password was dead, and they did the same thing with text expansion, and everyone's like all the text expander and similar apps, those are all going to be dead. And not the case, because Apple gives us the core features. But if you want to do something more, then all those other apps are out there because they offer more than what Apple does built into the OS. So it'll be the same thing here.
Okay, fair enough.
But yay. I think for a lot of people, this will be plenty.
Yeah, it will be. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Liquid Glass.
Yeah, the new interface. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, it's nice to have a fresh new interface because we haven't seen any significant change in interfaces in iOS, iPadOS, and macOS for a long time. And so here we go. Now we're getting something new. I like that we're getting a more unified interface across all devices.
Yep, same.
And I've already seen a couple of people say, well, this is proof that that you'll eventually be running macOS on an iPad. I disagree with that, which means now it'll end up happening because I disagreed with it. But I disagree with that. I think Apple's intent is to make it easy or easier to pick up any device that they make and already know how to use it.
Right. I agree with that. And that's an important distinction, that it's not that we're going to one OS to rule them all, to use John Keith, our buddy's term. Right.
It's so cute that he made a Lord of the Rings reference.
It is. It's not that that's what Apple's doing. It is that you won't care which OS you're using because it'll all be familiar.
Yes.
And that is that it's not even a subtle approach. The funny thing is that it will make things very subtle for us, the user, but it is not a subtle thing on the back end on the Apple side.
I agree. Yeah. This is a big change, but a welcome change.
Yeah. I like, from a nuts and bolts standpoint, the ways that Apple is going to want developers to put together icons makes a lot of sense. Right. from the you know, the light and the dark differences, and I didn't like the see-through version. That was driving me. Every time they showed that, I sort of wanted to start punching things.
Yeah, I'm hoping that by the time macOS Large Lakes actually releases, that they will have added in more controls for controlling the level of transparency.
Sure.
Including giving us an option to enable the menu bar background again, because
that's
gone in the version.
I absolutely rejected that when I saw it. And then I realized that I was probably being a little bit reactive. That I'd certainly need to wait and see it. But I don't mind my menu bar. And I don't need to see what's behind the menu bar. I like the menu bar being separate from the rest of my window is what I'm saying. But
yeah, same.
Maybe that'll change. There's certainly other things that Apple's done that I eventually came to embrace.
Well, you used to be able to, no, I used to be able to disable the menu bar color because I was using Bartender.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've switched to using Ice. And I haven't checked in there to see if I can turn off the menu bar background. But I did experiment with that in the past to see if that would work for me. And I really didn't like it at all. I like having that visual bar right there. Yeah, so I hope we get that back, at least as an option.
Right.
But I get why they're doing it the way they are now, because they're also adding a menu bar to the iPad.
Yeah.
And it's kind of it is transparent. It drops down in place. And so if you want to have consistency with that sort of interface, you need to do it the same on all the devices that'll use it.
That's fair.
It's a visual element that I don't like what they're doing with it.
All right. Let's move on to, because we really are running out of your time. Let's move on to iPhone OS. I've got notes here that says Apple remembers phone, learned preferred routes, and then Google Now years ago. That's our three things to talk about for iPhone OS.
Okay. So Apple remembers phone, or Apple remembers that the iPhone has a phone in it.
Yes.
Okay. So my comment, or that comment from me, stems from they're giving us a new interface for the phone. And so we're getting to have an interface that actually makes the phone make sense. So you get this unified interface where you can see your favorites, your messages, your missed calls, all of that. And it's all kind of like grouped and organized in a way that makes sense. So you're not like hopping from tab to tab, or jumping between the phone app and the contacts app if you don't want to. What they're doing with that new interface from the screenshots we got to see, it looks like a much more useful phone interface.
Yes, agreed. I also I love the fact that it'll be spammers who are now inconvenienced.
Oh yeah,
spammers who have to wait for us to pick up the phone. I get anywhere between 2 and 20 spam calls a day. So,
I get them all the time. And although I've been using Hiya, and that's screening out a lot of the spam for me right there.
Yeah, that didn't work for me because I would miss calls from people who weren't in my contacts that were calls.
Oh, well, I didn't enable the thing where it's like, hey, if it's not in your contacts, then we need to screen it out because of that. But having something where things that are numbers that are already known spammers, that stuff gets filtered out, that's cut down a lot on what's coming in for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
However, you will now have tools built in, and that'll be cool. I like the hold thing, meaning you have to call your favorite cable company because something screwed up again, and you call, and they let you know that your call is important to them, but call volume is higher than usual, so it's going to be about 20 minutes, and you sit and hold and wait and wait and wait. Now your phone will figure out, oh, Brian's on hold. So it takes over monitoring the call so you can get back with life.
Yeah, I love that.
You're not on hold, it alerts you. Yeah.
Unfortunately, this will mean that there will be more companies that basically say they can continue to cut down on their phone resources because it's being managed.
I came at it from a different angle, which is now we're going to see spammers come up with clever ways to try and trick iPhones into thinking that you're not on hold.
But
someone's going to find a way to try and use this to mess with us.
That's true. But I thought that this particular feature was aimed at people who are making the calls. So we
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Well, someone's going to find a way to try and
work around it.
To our detriment.
Yes, that's 100% true. So then there's the fact that that our phone learns that we have a preferred route at a preferred time.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, the whole thing with just because you aren't using maps to route out where you go all the time, if you're doing the same route consistently, your phone will learn that. And then, like, let's say one day you're going, like, let's say you have a book club meeting where you go and listen to indie writers read excerpts from their books. And so same time every week. And
nicely done, Jeff. Weeks, thanks.
Thank you. Yeah. So there's construction on the route that you take. And so it's going to add like 10 minutes. Your phone will let you know that you need to add extra time to your drive.
Or suggest an alternate route.
Or suggest an alternate route. Yeah.
So this is something that Google was offering years ago through Google Now. And I am, so I want to acknowledge that. And just, I'm delighted that, actually, Jeff, you and I have actually talked about this from the standpoint of when we talked about Tim Cook saying that he doesn't think that the news app needs to know what music we're listening to, because he was interested in protecting our privacy. And I said, yeah. No, that's exactly wrong. The news app absolutely needs to know what I'm listening to so that it can proactively show me news articles about those bands. Maybe those bands coming to play in my area. Right? We talked about that.
I remember you talking about that.
And this is an example of Apple putting our data to work for us, keeping it on our phones to protect us. And I freaking love it. And should we have had it years ago? Yes. Did Google do it first? Yes. I am glad that Apple's going to be doing it now in iOS 26.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And the whole thing with this feature race, well, we had it first or whatever. I don't care. I got over that a long time ago. I'm glad to have features, and many of them I wish we would have had sooner, but I'm glad when we get features that improve usability and productivity with all the Apple gear we use.
Yep. Fair enough. All right. We have to watchOS. We want to talk about Workout Buddy and Gestures.
Yeah. Okay. Gestures. That's a fast one. So there's new gestures, and my favorite is the one where you get an alert and you can just flick your wrist.
Yep. I like that.
And it'll just flick the alert away.
Yep. I love that. And it, so there are some things like the double tap for watchOS that never worked for me. Right.
Yeah.
It's not that I can't do it. It's just for whatever reason, maybe it's because I had a stroke, I don't know, but I just haven't done it, and I'm probably not going to do it. I feel like the wrist flick away thing is something that will be pretty grokkable instantaneously.
Yeah. Well, it's a gesture that I keep trying to do anyhow.
Fair enough.
So, thank you, Apple, for finally giving it.
And you also had a point about Workout Buddy?
Yes. I've seen a few people make comments about what a stupid thing to add and what a waste of operating system coding time. And I have a very different take on that, because I'm one of those people that all those years ago bought the Nike Fitness kit that plugged into your iPod. So when you're, like in my case, out running every day, I've got the sensor in my shoe that's tracking my activity, and giving me real-time feedback as I was on the run, giving me stats about my run after I finish it, and then giving me some like motivational statement after that. And that's what Workout Buddy in the workout app does. And I think it's so cool that this thing that we had years ago is back now, and it doesn't require additional hardware.
Yeah.
The only reason I stopped using that thing all those years ago is because Apple took the dock connector off the iPod, and Nike never released a new version of their adapter that takes advantage of the Lightning port. So, you know, it's like, well, okay, that's over.
All right. So we're,
now we've got that back.
We're truly running out of time. A couple things I wanted to mention. Wither augmented reality, in particular AR kit, and in particular AR outside of the Apple Vision Pro, because there was a time when Apple was really emphasizing augmented reality on iPads and on iPhones. There's the thing, the display that they have at or had. I haven't been there in a couple of years, but at the Apple store that's on the Apple campus, the spaceship campus, and it was basically this big table. And when you were running their app for this, and you were looking at their iPad, actually, you could see all of the things that were coming in on the campus, and it was so cool. And that was years ago. That was before the campus actually was finished. So it's been years, and there was no mention of ARKit. There was no mention of ARKit.
What I'm wondering is if there was no mention of ARKit in the public media focused keynote.
Yeah,
and fair enough. If there was discussion of that in the developer state of the union for developers, so their keynote, which happened later in the day, and this is going to be a shocker, I'm sure, but I haven't had time to go and watch the developer's state of the union. So I don't know what was covered in that.
Right. So if anyone can give us some insight, please let us know at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Or you can, you know, look us up on the social medias. I'm GeekTales everywhere, and Jeff is Jay Gammon or something. I don't know.
Yeah. That, something like that. Jay Gammon or something. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Ichabod had something to say. So we also have, you mentioned to me pre-show that like there was no mention of HomeKit. There was no mention of HomePod. There was no mention of any of the home automation stuff at all.
That surprised me that we didn't see anything about that in the main keynote. So again, I'm wondering if that's in if there was stuff about that in the state of the developer keynote. But it does bother me that these platforms, there's no mention.
There was also no mention of an improved Siri. So we can hope that's coming, because there have been reputable rumors about an improved Siri. And certainly all Wall Street cares about is AI these days. So, you know, there's that. In fact, this was not an Apple Intelligence forward event. Apple Intelligence was very much the focus of the previous WWDC. And Apple ended up getting burned when, frankly, they couldn't deliver on everything over the last year.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some stuff that they showed off at WWDC last year for AI that I expect we won't get in the coming year either.
Yeah, that's probably true. You said you had a hypothesis about this.
Oh, yeah, about what they're doing with Apple Intelligence right now. I think that, first they did give us a little bit of a discussion about Apple Intelligence right up front, and then said, "And you're good, and you'll see new features throughout the rest of our presentation today." So my hypothesis is that Apple has pivoted again on their goals with artificial intelligence, and they're going back to more to what they were doing before, which is to create features that enhance and improve what we're doing, as opposed to giving us the flashy, glitzy stuff, which is what they're trying to do last year. And honestly, I would rather have a more useful, productive, transparent, I don't even notice it, just kind of bland.
Yes, working AI. For me in the background. My data.
Yeah.
Working for my benefit on my devices. That is what I want from Apple from AI.
Yeah, and yes, same. And based on what we saw throughout the keynote, I'm feeling like that may be the direction that they're going. And I'm totally fine with that. And I'm totally fine with them for the flashy, glitzy things, or the real generative stuff that some of us aren't actually that interested in, that they can farm that out to other companies. Related to that, which you and I haven't discussed, I have another hypothesis, which is that Apple will continue to outsource all of the generative stuff like that to companies like ChatGPT. And it looks like they do have a tighter relationship with them this year. Until they reach a point where they feel like they have done enough work to be able to release their own thing. And we've seen this before because it's exactly what they did with Maps.
That is true. All right, Jeff, all right. I think that's our look at WWDC 25.
Cool. Hey, but before we wrap up, that's one conference. There's another one coming up that I haven't talked about yet, and that's Mac Stock.
Oh, yeah.
That's July 11th through the 13th, and that's in Crystal Lake, Illinois, just like it was last year. I don't know if you realize this, Brian, I'm speaking again.
Mm.
And and I'll be talking about internet security, protecting yourself online, and I'm going to go into some stuff that a lot of people probably wouldn't even think of. So cool. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool. So where can they find out more information and get tickets?
Well, if you go to max.conferenceandexpo.com, you can get tickets there. You can see the whole schedule, see who else is speaking. A lot of people we know are going to be there. I'm sorry, you're not... Or are you going to be there and you just haven't told me?
Nope.
All right. Well, Dave will be there.
Yep.
And Adam and Pilot Pete. So Mac Geek Gab is doing a live show.
Yep.
From the event. A lot of our friends from our podcast community are going to be there. Chuck Joyner, Allison Sheridan, Dave Ginsberg, Brett Terpstra, Kelly Gumont, Doc Rock is coming this year.
Oh, good. Say hello for me.
I will, and I will hug him and hold it just long enough that it becomes a little awkward. But with Doc, that means it's going to be awkward for everyone around us.
Well, yeah. And good luck hitting that point with him.
Yeah. Doc and I, we have a special relationship, so don't worry. Anyhow, there's a lot of other people coming. So... and I have a discount code. So if you use JGamut50, you get $50 off your weekend pass.
Oh, excellent. That's
so
nice.
Come hang out with me in Crystal Lake, Illinois in July.
Yes. do that. And on that note, we really do have to we have to go. So
it's
going to do this. And then I'm going to say that's it for this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on that or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for this show. And Jeff, that is it for this week.
Sweet.
Huh. I think my clip cut off. Sorry about that.
Yeah.